You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
The business of pharmacy would do better to understand that success is about delivering better health to our patients. For this reason, all pharmacy organizations should develop a persistent spirit of servant leadership and leverage intelligent technology to maximize better outcomes. This is the RX Safe podcast series, brought to you by the Pharmacy Podcast Network. RX Safe has unwavering core values, which guide everything they do every day. They believe in the importance of people above all other aspects of business and aspire to ensure their customers are 100% satisfied. This podcast series is about challenging conventional wisdom, upending the status quo, and developing technology that will define the future of the pharmacy industry. This is the RX Safe podcast series. Learn more at rxsafe.com/podcasts.
Hey, this is Todd Urey, founder of the Pharmacy Podcast Network at the NCPA 2019 annual convention. We have a division and a program that we're having a tremendous amount of interesting topics come to. Future Dose Doc Tech with Timothy Unkst is a podcast dedicated to technology in pharmacy, including artificial intelligence and big data. However, we've also had a sponsor who's been diligent and dedicated to bringing knowledge to the Pharmacy Podcast about medication adherence. And that's the team over at RX Safe. What's exciting about today's show is I have two guests. I have a pharmacy owner who's no stranger to the Pharmacy Podcast, Ben McNabb. And I have Alan Sykes, who is really the Jedi Master of all things tax, law, navigation in the business of pharmacy. And we're excited to welcome here. I'm going to start out with Alan. Welcome to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Well, good morning, Todd. We're certainly glad to be here in San Diego this morning and with you and Ben, and glad to be a participant.
Hey, Ben, how are you?
Doing great. Thank you for having me.
Very welcome. So, you know, it's the end of the year. It's October. November's right around the corner. Holidays are coming. Lots of stress in the pharmacy marketplace. We're hearing buzz here at the show about PBM reform, DIR fees, and what that does to a business, and really not able to scale as we used to, and we're navigating. We're changing. We're hearing a lot of strategies to do so. However, there's something that has been the same for quite some time. I'm not even sure when this tax law came out, that lots of pharmacy owners may be overlooking, and that is what is known as 179, and I am not the expert, which is why Alan is here. But Alan, would you start us out just giving us kind of a summary to what that means for a pharmacy owner?
Well, Todd, Section 179 is area of the depreciation law that allows a pharmacist in particular, as they put equipment in use, and the equipment has to be in use only before the end of the fiscal year or the calendar year that applies, and if they have profits, to write off the equipment essentially 100%. So essentially, the idea, which came out several years ago, which was expanded with the Tax Cut and Jobs Act that went into effect 1-1 of 18, which is in effect to 2025 under current law, is to incentivize businesses to invest in equipment and to spur the economy. And the key thing with 179 is that you've got to have profits in order to be able to utilize the full write-off potential of that. Now, there are also other provisions with respect to depreciation that can be taken in and above Section 179, but that obviously that's the simplest and the easiest way for pharmacy owners who are looking at robotic or compliance equipment, et cetera, to be able to gain a tax advantage in the current year.
So, Ben, you're a pharmacy owner. You've really built out Love Oak Pharmacy. It's been really impressive. I've watched you. I'm a fan. What happened in sharing with our listeners? What happened in your case? What did you find out? How did you learn about this? And how did you leverage the benefit of 179? What did that do for your business?
Well, thank you. I think probably the way I heard about it was from Alan. I've been with Sykes & Company, accounting firm, since the inception. Actually, Alan helped take me through the purchase of my pharmacy and provided a lot of great resources and insight on how I could do that and get through that process well. And so very appreciative for that. So Allen brought it to my attention, the 179, about 3 years ago, seeing adherence packaging becoming a greater and greater force in the marketplace, seeing PillPack kind of develop and see how they use that as a growth tool for their business was very intriguing. So seeing that was one of the first pieces of equipment that we bought from RxSafe. And then we also bought their inventory management system. And so we were able to take advantage of both of those pieces of equipment using this tax benefit. And then as far as our business, we've actually had pretty significant growth because of some of the advancements that we've used the technology for. And so just having access to that those tax advantages, I believe, has helped us retain some additional earnings and be able to pad our cash flow a little bit as we continue to grow.
Just as some reference for the listeners, Ben McNabb is a, I'm going to say it because Ben won't say it because you're humble, but you are a shooting star in this industry. You're really helping to change things, and you're able to share that knowledge and your practices with other pharmacy owners. And I think the coupling of technology and the love of your patient, the dedication to healthcare, is proving to be successful for you, even though you are experiencing the same barriers as every other pharmacy, and you're getting hit in the face just like the rest of the pharmacies with what PBMs are doing. I want to go back to the implementation of this and understanding. Allen, you made a comment about being able to actually show profit based on this. We're coming to the end of October. We're going to probably push this podcast out in the very first week of November. We want RxSafe technologies to bring value as quickly as possible, but what's that implementation? How do you have to show that profit in order to literally, for a lack of a better word, cash in on the 179 benefit?
Well, you first and foremost have to have an understanding fundamentally of where your pharmacy stands from an accounting perspective. Now, in Ben's case, he knows exactly where he stands each and every month. We're adjusting receivables, inventory, the balance sheet is adjusted, so therefore the P&L is accurate. So we can utilize the numbers that we have on the financial statements for planning purposes. So that's the first place you start. If you don't have your accounting system in place, then you don't know where you are, and you're basically operating out of a checkbook, which is not good for a pharmacy. And so for the innovative movers and shakers like Ben is in the industry that understand where they are, they can then be proactive in their planning. And he and others in his position understand what the technology advantages are in this process. So when they know where they are and they see they have profitability and there's opportunities to add this automation to further service the patient care, to love them and serve them and grow the business, then you begin to put the numbers together on the profits and what you can save in tax and cash flow, because it's all about cash flow in pharmacy. And did I say cash is king? I mean, that's the key in pharmacy. And it's all about tax cash savings with respect to Section 179 when it's properly utilized. And again, you can't just sign the contract and have it delivered in January or February. That doesn't work. If you have a December year end and a pass-through entity, as Ben has, then that equipment has to be put in use. Actually, you got to be filling scripts and utilizing the system for what it's intended to on or before the last day of the year. But it's a combination of knowing where you stand fundamentally and then doing the proactive planning in order to maximize your cash flow.
Yeah, this is an aspect of my own businesses that I've overlooked until about 5 years ago, where we had a tax expert start getting involved in our monthly and quarterly reporting. And it's really interesting to see how things have changed, because there's less stress in my life now because of that. Ben, talk about implementation for just a second. From your experience in leveraging the RxSafe systems that you have in place for adherence packaging, how long does it take you? How long did it take you to, from pre-planning to implementation, to really get things going?
Great question. it really took us about 6 to 12 months to really get it off the ground how we wanted it. It's not just about having the packaging machine. It's about really changing your workflow, and I think that's really what holds people up. You can't just purchase that machine and think it's going to do all the work for you. There's a lot of logistical expertise that comes into play, making sure that your all of your staff is cross-trained and understands how to do MedSync and get those patients taken care of. So, you know, it was definitely a process for us, but now that we're there, we're excited to see how things further progress and get into more of these clinical services that we hope to provide on a more of an appointment-based model. They're coming to pick up all their meds once a month, and at that point, what types of interventions and clinical offerings can we provide as they're coming in?
Alan, what other type of technology-oriented or even business-oriented software devices, machines are part of this 179?
Well, essentially, Todd, it's pretty much any equipment that you have that you would typically see in a pharmacy. It might be robotic equipment. It might be the compliance packaging. It might be a new script management system and software. It might be new delivery vehicles. Might be new shelving. And for those that are making improvements to the physical location of a pharmacy, there are actually some very much expanded processes that can be used to allocate depreciation on a near-term basis to actually leasehold improvements and things of that nature in a new structure. So pretty much any monies that you spend on capital assets can be utilized under current tax law. And current tax law has never been more favorable for small business, for pharmacy to maximize, again, their cash flow, and hopefully create manufacturing jobs and push the economy like we have seen in the last few years since this new law has come into play. And it's having a tremendous impact that we see. Also, with the proper med syncing and workflow with labor, and with gross margin being the single most important number on the P&L, and labor and your cost of labor as a percentage of revenue being your second most important item, then if you can integrate the automation and the compliance packaging into your practice correctly, you can actually save on that number two item being labor, payroll taxes, and benefits.
So as I'm listening to you, I also want to bring to the attention of the listeners, Alan Sykes started a YouTube channel back in 2013. He has 6 years worth of intelligence and sharing ideas for the pharmacy owner. Another thing is Alan and his team work specifically in the pharmacy industry and have become experts specific to the pharmacy business owner, so that's why we were so excited to bring on such big guns onto this episode, and excited about that because I want to help pharmacy owners succeed. And one of the places that sometimes are overlooked based on it not really being sexy is the world of taxes and managing your money correctly. So, Alan, I very much appreciate your insights in being part of this. I also want to give a shout out to the RX Safe team who have been dedicated and diligent to helping our listeners understand what it means to be involved in medication adherence packaging. What's next for you and your team, Ben? What are you guys looking to in 2020 to continue to do, or something new that you can share?
Sure. Well, as a leader in the Community Pharmacy Enhanced Services Network of Texas, we're excited to see new opportunities pop up. And so a lot of these clinical offerings are built upon adherence. So you have to have a strong foundation of adherence. And if you're not already in that adherence space, you're really behind at this point, honestly. So trying to encourage everyone to have some type of adherence program is critical at this moment. That being said, we're having some very interesting conversations with Medicaid in Texas. And so we're actually just completed negotiations with a Medicaid plan to provide an asthma management service to keep their children out of the hospital And so we're very excited about that. Those are things that we would build upon an adherence program to their asthma controller meds and making sure they had the rescue inhalers. But there's so many more things that the pharmacist can do to help keep those kids out of the hospital. And so pharmacists are finding ways now, even without provider status, to have new opportunities of different types of revenue streams and new job satisfaction of being able to really make an impact at improving outcomes and lowering costs. So it's just a very exciting time in pharmacy. It's fun to be part of the process of getting it going in Texas. And so lots of action happening all across the country. But for us, it's been a fun process.
That's great. Ben, thank you so much for coming back as well. Alan, your team's been around for how long now in the pharmacy market?
About 40 years.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Sykes and Company. If you'd like more information, please reach out to the show. Alan, I'd like you to share with the listeners how to reach out to your team.
Absolutely. The easiest and simplest way to do that, Todd, is our website, which is sykes-cpa.com. That's sykes-cpa.com. We have, as you mentioned earlier, literally hundreds of videos that we try to refresh about every 10 days or so. You can link into the YouTube channel that we have there and get them automatically pushed out to your to you. I want to add one other thing, too, if I could, that Ben just mentioned. And I know, of course, DR fees and compliance and adherence are all kind of tied together. There's somewhat of a misnomer out there that there's nothing we can do in the industry about DR fees. I disagree. What we're seeing in the real world, that those that have star ratings at 5, average, at 5 versus a 4, are paying anywhere from 1.5% to 2% lower in DR fees than those that are not. So those are putting the time and effort, like Ben is doing, at MedSync and other issues that are dealing with disease states that get his star ratings close to or at 5, are having a significant difference on the bottom line. And we've seen this quantitatively over the last year or so, as DR fees have become a little bit more transparent than they were a couple of years ago. It's still not where it needs to be. Obviously, there's all types of issues with that. But I did want to mention that because, again, if fundamentally you're following and tracking and tracing what those fees are and following what's taking place in the pharmacy, you can make a monetary difference.
Thank you for talking about that, Alan, too, because I think adding to that, we have to keep in mind that even if DIR goes away, there's still going to be performance-based payment. Maybe it's going to be at point of sale, but an adherence-level performance-based system, whether it's actual PDC measure or whether it's A1C improvement, we move toward A1C improvement, the actual health plan-level data, being adherent is still affecting that. So we are in the era of performance-based payment models. We have to make sure that we do everything we can to play by these rules, to improve outcomes, improve adherence, improve people's health, or we're going to fall behind and we're not going to be able to keep up. So it's a very wise statement. Everyone's got to do it. We're not waiting for the lobbyists to eliminate performance-based payment models and DIR. We're waiting to be treated more fairly in the process, but that is not going away. It's here to stay.
I'm glad that you've both mentioned that. We are doing a series on PBM reform, and we will dig down into the compliance and the star rating, so that makes an absolute makes a lot of sense, and I appreciate you both having insight into that. I am excited about the future of pharmacy. I think that we're going to see some pharmacists in sectors of the country rise because of leveraging technology, telehealth services, consultancy, reaching out to the physicians in your marketplace on a cyclical way of building trust with that patient base that primary physician has as a consultant, and where that's going to take pharmacy, I think in 2020 is going to be pretty significant. I want to thank you both for participating in the RX Safe podcast that's here at the NCPA 2019 annual convention. Alan, I'd love to have you back on the show. You are an encyclopedia of information, Britannica, tax law, and tax information and strategy. So I thank you both.
Really appreciate the opportunity very much, John.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the RX Safe podcast series. Machine learning, intelligent technologies, and artificial intelligence is part of our global healthcare services future. Be sure to visit our website and schedule a time to talk with one of our pharmacy business consultants about the RX Safe technologies talked about on today's podcast episode. Visit us at rxsafe.com.
Thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. If you enjoy the leading podcast network dedicated to the business and profession of pharmacy, please write us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know which channel is your favorite. And remember, the pharmacist is the hub of healthcare.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.